Diamonds and Rust, a Lord of the Rings RPF fic, written by Chaos Manor and read by Sylvain.
Well, I'll be damned, here comes your ghost again, but that's not unusual, it's just that the moon is full, and you happen to call.
Hello? Viggo said distractedly, tucking the cordless phone into the crook of his neck and shoulder so he could keep stirring the pasta sauce that was simmering on the stove. Viggo, it's Orlando, the voice on the other end said. Orlando? Viggo said, frowning to himself a little. He leaned against the counter in the kitchen and looked out of the window, across the garden and down the hill. The house roofs were bathed in silver, and a luminous moon hung in the sky. Where are you? Orlando chuckled. I don't actually know. Somewhere between New York and L.A. There was some bad weather, so the plane landed, and we're waiting for it to clear. Viggo knew who we was. That would be Chris. He travelled everywhere with Orlando, and probably CD too. There was a beep and a clunk as Orlando dropped coins into a phone. You're not on your cell? Nah, damn battery's flat, so I'm on a payphone at the airport. Hang on. There was a pause, and then Orlando said, It's Ohio, apparently, according to the sign down the hall. Am I interrupting? Do you need to go? Viggo turned the heat off underneath the pasta sauce. No, you're good. I was cooking dinner, but Henry's not home yet, so there's no rush. Another beep and clunk, and Orlando said, Tell me what you're cooking. Viggo smiled to himself. They used to do this all the time, have rambling conversations. I bought some tomatoes today from a grower's market. Organic Roma tomatoes, lovely and ripe and sweet. I've oven roasted them, along with elephant garlic and some pimientos. Then I made a sauce. I'm going to add some pork sausages that I've cooked. I bought them at the market, too. They're homemade, full of rosemary and thyme. You should smell them. Beep. Clunk. Viggo watched the moon sail behind a cloud bank, lighting it from behind so that a silver aura lined the cloud. Orlando said, I had something on the plane, a salad or something. You should eat better, Viggo said, and they both burst out laughing. Viggo opened the fridge and took out a Samuel Adams, found a bottle opener in a drawer, and popped the top off. It was something Orlando had said to Viggo over and over, appalled by his casual disregard for his diet. Viggo had always maintained that beer was actually liquid bread, and therefore he ate just fine. Hey, Viggo said, you okay? Sean called me, said he'd been out drinking with you, that you were about to dump her. I hope you didn't take romantic advice from him. Beep. Clunk. Yeah, I'm good, Orlando said, and he sounded so tired to Viggo's ear. Better than good. It wasn't going anywhere. I was never going to be the person she wanted me to be. Straight, Viggo thought to himself. Married to her. Famous enough. Not that he'd ever say any of these things to Orlando, but that didn't stop him from thinking them. Glad you're okay, Viggo said. Glad you called me. What about you? Orlando said. How are you doing? More than an innocent question, since Orlando knew that Viggo had been struggling with his own personal demons for the past year or so. Unsure what to say, Viggo said nothing. Beep. Clunk. Have you done anything about it? Orlando asked. Dampness pricked Viggo's eyelids. Yeah, I went and saw someone, started some chemicals. He hated talking about it, wished everyone would leave him alone, but Orlando was just being worried about him, like everyone else who knew him well. Good, Orlando said. Have they helped? Maybe, Viggo said. I think I still feel exactly the same. I just don't care about it quite as much anymore. That's probably an improvement. I can't paint or write. Blocked? Orlando asked. Or because of the medication? No motivation, Viggo said. I can't make myself care enough about anything to paint. Beep. Clunk. Assuming I ever make it out of here, I'd like to catch up with you. I'm in L.A. for a while now, Orlando said, and Viggo could hear the worry in his voice. Yeah, that'd be good. I'll cook you something. Better not bring Celia over. Bridget's sick and he'll just upset her. Bridget pricked her ears up at the mention of her name and woofed quietly at Vigo, just in case it was dinner time again. "Bridget's ill? What's wrong with her?" Orlando asked, and Vigo knew he understood. Orlando loved city to distraction. He understood. "She's old. Got heart problems. Got arthritis, too." More dampness. Enough that Vigo had to close his eyes. "Give her my love," Orlando said. "And tell her I'll bring her a treat soon. Chris is calling me. I've got to go. Take care. Love you." "Love you, too," Vigo said. Then the phone was dead and Orlando was gone, presumably to catch his plane. Vigo wandered out onto his deck, Bridget waddling behind him, phone still in his hand, leaving the house in darkness apart from the light in the kitchen. It was cool outside, and as quiet as a lake could be, and Vigo leaned against the railing in the privacy of the darkness. Orlando did this to him, even after all this time. All it took was a phone call and a casual "love you," and Orlando's ghost was back. It was going to be a bad night.
As I remember, your eyes were bluer than robin's eggs. My poetry was lousy, you say. Where are you calling from? A booth in the Midwest.
The door of the makeup bus slammed shut behind Orlando as he threw himself into his seat, panting. Sean groaned and tossed something at Orlando from where he was slouched in his chair. "How can you be so bloody cheerful?" he grumbled. "How can you be so awake?" Orlando found the tube of makeup that Sean had thrown at him and tossed it back. "You're just old, Sean. You might as well give up now." Sean grumbled a little more and trailed off into silence, and Orlando reached for his contacts case. It took a moment to slip in the violet-blue lenses, and he blinked cautiously as they settled in place, then put the case away and looked across at Vigo, who was sitting silently, one of his interminable journals open on his lap, his pencil moving quickly across it. There was no point in teasing Vigo when he was like this. He wouldn't notice, so Orlando clambered out of his chair and leaned over Vigo's shoulder, reading the scroll. Eventually, Vigo said, "Satisfied? Ready to go back to your chair?" "No," Orlando replied. "Am I annoying you yet?" "Nope," Vigo said. "I have achieved a zen-like state of calm, and remain unruffled by your presence, even if you are snuffling and sniffing in my ear." "A zen vagabond," Orlando said, and he sniffed loudly and waited. Eventually, Vigo would have to ask him. "Well, what do you think?" Vigo asked, putting down his pencil. Orlando looked at the page of what seemed entirely random scrawl. "Is it a poem?" "It is." The ripe smell of Aragorn's jacket filled Orlando's nose when he sniffed, along with makeup and sweat and glue and whatever it was that Vigo had spilled on his costume the day before, and Orlando considered. "I think it's wanky," he finally said. "Thanks," Vigo said. "You think it's a good thing I'm not trying to make a living as a poet?" "Yep," Orlando said, peeling himself off Vigo's shoulder and going back to his own chair. "You're never going to get anything published unless you buy your own publishing company." "Poorly educated, biased, underfed, and just plain wrong. If acting doesn't work out for you, Orlando, you've got a great future as a literary critic," Vigo said good-naturedly, and Orlando grinned at him. "I am not underfed," Orlando said, and they both burst out laughing. Sean groaned and said, "Shut up, you lunatics." "It's not salubrious, is it?" Vigo said, and Orlando slid the window open and leaned out, looking across the parking lot and letting a blast of cold air in. "It's not," Orlando agreed, closing the window again, and Vigo knelt down beside the antiquated radiator. "Do you have any idea how to make this work?" he asked Orlando. Orlando squatted down beside him. "Like this," he said, and he turned the valve at the bottom of the radiator and was rewarded by hissing and gurgling from within it. "Show off," Vigo said, and Orlando threw himself down on Vigo's bed, sending up a cloud of dust, and presumably dust mites, too. "Smart ass," Orlando said, and Vigo flopped down beside him. They should continue exchanging invective. That was what they did. But Vigo found himself too intrigued by the familiarity with which Orlando had claimed space on his bed to pursue the question of the relative intelligence of their asses, which would inevitably lead to a discussion on exactly how one assessed the intelligence of a donkey. As always with Orlando, direct questioning was the only way of finding out what, if anything, was going on in his head, so Vigo asked, "How come you're in my room, and on my bed?" "This is the star accommodation," Orlando said. "You should see mine." He rolled onto his side and propped himself up on one elbow, suddenly serious. "I thought you might like me to stay." Direct question, direct answer. Orlando was beautiful, with his cheekbones and skin and endless smile. Vigo could make that color, the color of Orlando's skin. It was ultramarine blue and burnt sienna and titanium white. Vigo thought about what it would be like to have him. "I'd like you to stay," Vigo said, "if you want to be here." Orlando leaned forward and kissed him. "Yes!" Elijah shouted, and he threw himself at Dom, and they tumbled down the hillside in a tangle of arms and legs, kicking up flurries of dead leaves as they slid and slithered. Orlando followed them down the slope only marginally more elegantly, grabbing at the trees and shouting too. By luck, he managed to arrive at the bottom of the slope still on his feet, after wrapping his arms around a tree trunk to steady himself. "Very graceful," Vigo said, as Dom and Elijah picked themselves up and inspected each other for damage. Orlando wandered over to Vigo, took the cigarette he was smoking out of his hand, and took a drag. It was just starting to snow, the sky heavy and silver above them, and leaves fell over the pair of them when Orlando leaned against a tree and handed Vigo's cigarette back. He exhaled, and the condensation from his breath combined with the smoke and hung in the air. Snowflakes were falling now, melting in microscopic tingles on his face, lodging in Vigo's hair like tiny Christmas tree decorations. Only it wasn't Christmas, it was July, and this moment was so perfect that it made breathing hard. Vigo exhaled too, and smiled at Orlando. The things were heavy in Vigo's hand, and he turned them over and admired the enameled paisley pattern on them and looked at the hinged brass clips, rocking one backwards and forwards with a cautious fingertip. "You bought me cufflinks?" he asked Orlando. Orlando leaned back in the passenger seat of the car. "Yeah, do you like them?" "I do," Vigo said. "You know that I don't own a shirt I can wear them with, don't you?" "Sure," Orlando said. "I just thought you might like them." He grinned, his wide animated smile that showed all his teeth. "You could get your nipples pierced with them." Vigo put them carefully back in their box and put the box on the dashboard. "I haven't got you anything," he said. When Vigo started the car and turned his head to look over his shoulder as he reversed, Orlando was still smiling, his eyes crinkled at the corners. "Is there anything you'd like?" Vigo asked. Vigo stopped the car halfway out of the parking bay, and their eyes met, and Orlando shook his head slightly.
10 years ago I bought you some cufflinks. You brought me something. We both know what memories can bring. They bring diamonds and rust.
Bridget shuffled out onto the deck behind them, the teddy bear Orlando had given her in her mouth. She looked up so hopefully that Orlando took the sodden toy from her and tossed it a short distance across the deck. She hobbled across to pick it up again, and then settled on top of Vigo's feet with a huff of breath and a growl of pain, teddy bear still in her teeth. It seemed unbearably poignant to Orlando, somehow representative of everything that had happened in the past 4 years. He'd left her full of hope and enthusiasm, Bridget bouncing around him as he'd loaded his stuff into his crappy old car, clambering into the car whenever she could in the hope of going for a ride, Vigo joking as he stacked boxes into the back seat. So much had changed. "Do you get nostalgic?" he asked Vigo. Looking up from patting Bridget, Vigo said, "No, I look back sometimes with fondness. I like to remember things that happened, the way I felt. That's what photos are for. But I don't get nostalgic." Orlando's skepticism must have shown because Vigo smiled a little ruefully and slid an arm around Orlando's shoulders, pulling him closer. "Hey," he said, and Orlando rested his head on Vigo's shoulder. "It's going to be okay. We're both going to be okay." "Will we?" Orlando said. "I thought that if I wasn't alone, I wouldn't be lonely, but it didn't work that way." Vigo's arms tightened around his shoulders. They'd had this discussion before, when they'd split up. Vigo had said then that every person was responsible for their own happiness, and that everyone was ultimately alone. That life was about trying to make fleeting connections with other people. It had sounded good at the time, and it had made it easier for Orlando to decide to leave. But with Vigo's arms so solid around him, Orlando wasn't convinced of any of it right now. "Come inside," Vigo said. "I'd rather not kiss you within potential sight of a telephoto lens." Inside, Bridget flopped down onto the bit of the rug that belonged to her, and Orlando wound his arms around Vigo's neck. The first brush of their lips was awkward, and Orlando felt strange to be kissing a man again after so many years. But Vigo was solid and substantial when he touched him. He smelt warm and alive and human, not of cosmetics. And his mouth was waiting for Orlando. So Orlando stepped in close, pressing their bodies together, and took the initiative, kissing Vigo until they were both moaning. When they surfaced for air, Vigo took a step backwards, standing on Bridget's tail accidentally, making her protest. This wasn't a withdrawal on Vigo's part. There had been far too much invitation in his kiss for that. Orlando guessed this was him giving Orlando a chance to think, perhaps change his mind. He wasn't going to. Bridget had to be lifted up onto the bed, as she was too stiff and frail to make the climb, and Orlando took a moment to cuddle and pat her. Then Vigo settled behind him, arm around his chest, their legs tangling together. Vigo didn't try and distract him from Bridget, just kissed his shoulder blade and waited until Orlando rolled over in his arms. There should have been stuff to talk about, Orlando was sure, or it should have been desperate and frantic and out of control. But they lay quietly together, Vigo's hands touching Orlando gently. Orlando touched Vigo too, his shoulders, his chest, finding grey hairs where there hadn't been any before, his fingers stumbling over the old memories, trying to fit them into the skin beneath his fingertips. He curled a hand around Vigo's arm, and his hand shaped around where muscle used to be. The ridges were gone from his belly, whereas Orlando had grooves now that hadn't been there the last time they had done this. At the end of the bed, Bridget let out a doggy snore and farted, and when Orlando nudged her accidentally as Vigo turned him over, she licked the sole of his foot. "Love me, love my dog," Orlando figured. At least Bridget didn't howl during sex, not like Seedy. That had not been well received by anyone, including Seedy when he found himself locked out of the bedroom. There was utter bliss in what they did, more than there ever had been before, slower and deeper and tighter. The peaks were high and there was further to fall afterwards. But Orlando stayed when any sane person would have run away. The next morning Orlando woke to a heavy weight on his chest and doggy breath on his face, and he tugged on Bridget's ears and nudged her paws off his chest. The other side of the bed was empty, sunlight streaming through the wooden slats of the blinds, the air full of wandering clouds of dust particles. It would have been good to wake up with Vigo still beside him, But after Orlando had clambered out of bed and lifted Bridget down onto the floor, her claws clacking on the wooden boards, he stretched out on the bed, hugging a pillow, and just being there seemed to be enough. Sometime later, Vigo appeared with tea for Orlando and coffee for himself, and he took off his scruffy bathrobe and climbed into bed again. Orlando leaned against Vigo's shoulder, mug of tea in his hands, and closed his eyes. "Tired?" Vigo asked quietly. "Yeah," Orlando said, and Vigo's lips, warm with coffee, pressed against his bare shoulder. "I missed you," he said. There was a lick of tongue in the gentle kisses now. "I missed you too, love." The end.
Now you're telling me you're not nostalgic, then give me another word for it. You were so good with words and at keeping things vague. 'Cause I need some of that vagueness now, it's all come back too clearly. Yes, I loved you dearly, and if you're offering me diamonds and rust, I've already paid.